In this century, Hispanics increasingly are the defining populations in communities around the nation, identified as Hispanic centers by the American Communities Project. These are high-growth communities where Hispanics make up a large part of the population, 56% on average. Today, our series, Zip Code Decode, How Where You Live Matters to Your Health, shows that a community's collective health depends on its access to health insurance. And according to the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation's County Health Rankings, Hispanic centers, concentrated in Texas largely, are among the highest in the state for people without insurance. Paul Flav of Texas Public Radio brings us inside a clinic seeking to redress this trend.
There are 15 people in the waiting room of Barrio Clinic on San Antonio's west side. For many of the patients here, this is the only place they can get care outside of the emergency room. More than half have no insurance at all, and nearly all are Latino.
Ramiro? Camargo? Hola, pásale, pásale.
Cynthia Rodriguez is an enrollment specialist for Communicare. They run Barrio Clinic and clinics across San Antonio. She's one of many trying to enroll people in Obamacare.
Okay, esta no es la oficina de Medicare, though. La gente se lo habla Obamacare, but it's the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm.
Her first order of business when she sees a new patient is to try and get them covered, checking to see if they qualify for insurance subsidies under the Affordable Care Act. According to the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, 23% of the residents here in Bexar County are going without insurance, and 75% of that number is Hispanic or Latino. In a top-performing county, the uninsured rate would be half that. San Antonio is almost two-thirds Hispanic, and also surrounded by what the American Communities Project calls Hispanic centers. Counties like Gonzales, Medina, and Atascosa. While 70% of Caucasians get their insurance through their employer, only about half of Latinos do.
And that has to do, of course, with the kinds of jobs that Latinos are working in, particularly immigrant workers. So you have many that are working in very low-wage kind of occupations that offer no benefits or very slim kind of benefits.
Rogelio Saenz is dean of the College of Public Policy at the University of Texas, San Antonio. He's also from a small town on the Texas-Mexico border.
Construction, maids, hotel workers, cooks, dishwashers. You have a large portion of the population disproportionately Latino.
Saenz says this disparity with employer health care is the biggest reasons Latinos lack it. The community's perceptions play a big role as well. Misunderstandings over Medicaid eligibility, and for the undocumented, a fear of big institutions.
Parents have a fear of going and showing up for resources for their kids that they legitimately merit, but because of their undocumented status, they don't want to risk being identified and deported.
Saenz continues that for the documented, the perception of the U.S. health system as too expensive plays a big role. Often, symptoms are ignored until they become so bad that the emergency room is the only option. That was the case last year with Sarah Galvan. She's married, in her late 20s, and the mother of two kids. She and her husband don't have insurance. She had to use the ER last year for a bad asthma attack, a problem that's brought her to Barrio Clinic several times this month.
When I came in for my asthma, they gave me steroids. So that makes my diabetes higher. So I wasn't able to work for these past 4 days. I was really tired. I'm still tired. And then I have an appointment next week again to follow up on my diabetes and my asthma, which is going to be $150 this month. And I don't know if I have to come back again within this month.
That's a lot of money for Galvan and her family. She pays hundreds of dollars for her kids' asthma meds every month and has to use those if she has an attack. Because they are just getting by on the salary she earns as a clerical assistant, she has put off all her women's health screenings since her last child was born, 3 years ago. And she worries because ovarian cancer runs in her family. But she worries more about missing work.
My parents don't want me to go to work. My husband doesn't want me to go to work, but it's hard. It's hard for me to do. I have to work for my kids. That's the biggest thing, my kids. I need to be there. Because that's my job, and I get scared that I might be let go.
Sarah came into the clinic today to try and sign up for the Affordable Care Act. Last year, she tried to do it as a student, but didn't make enough to qualify for the government subsidies. She was sure this year, with her job, she would, but she's still under the line, and the cost would be over $500 a month.
I just know it's hard. That's all I know, is that people that don't have insurance, it's hard. And I know they suffer because of their illnesses and stuff, and they can't do what needs to be done for them.
For those in Hispanic centers across Texas, one of the reasons insurance remains out of reach is because of the so-called coverage gap. Patients like Galvan and more than a million other Texans live in the coverage gap. They make too little for Obamacare, but too much to qualify for Medicaid. The ACA assumed that states would all expand their Medicaid programs with federal funds. Texas is one of now 15 states refusing to. Latinos and other minorities make up most of the people in this gap. And this conversation with Galvan, the one where someone comes in for Obamacare and finds out they're in the gap, is happening more often this year than last, according to enrollment specialist Cynthia Rodriguez.
Because the media, the hype of the media saying you have to have insurance or you'll be charged a penalty at the end of the year. But, you know, that's not a true statement because a lot of these people are below the federal poverty guidelines and they're not meeting the minimum requirements as far as income.
The number of states that have expanded Medicaid has grown significantly in the past year. Texas's new governor has indicated he may be open to it. For The Takeaway in Texas, I'm Paul Flav.
Zip code decode how where you live matters to your health. And you can find out about your county's ranking at countyhealthrankings.org. It's all at thetakeaway.org. We're going to be doing this all week. Find out how your health matters to where you live. We're asking you to rate the health of your community this week. From Sukasana, New Jersey, I live in a town that is in less than a 3-square-mile area. The streets are flat except for one large mountain. Everyone walks and talks and runs and jogs and rides and bikes and bike clubs.
This is Terry from Portland, and our community is doing the right things health-wise by communicating on the Nextdoor app, and we're discovering that a lot of us are gardeners and raising chickens and doing a lot of healthy things and sharing that with each other. Where our community in Northeast Portland is lacking is that we don't have a lot of quality local food outlets or restaurant choices.
I'm Shannon from Northeast Oklahoma. My community is ready to die if we get sick for the most part. Our governor has cut the tax rate in half for our state's largest industry, oil, while refusing to allow the Health Care Act to work or expand the federal programs that would allow it to work here in Oklahoma because we can't afford it. She's also at the simultaneously has cut the school funding where most of our children get their only meal of the day and a simple health check. I'm 47. I earned $12,000 last year working for my county, and I don't qualify for any health care at all.
Boy, that's some story from Shannon. We'd love to hear yours. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Tell us about the health of your community. Decode your zip code and your health by tweeting us at The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.